What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, writer, lecturer, and women's health advocate. And it's great, as always, having you join us today for another exploration and in-depth conversation into subjects that women must know. And as you know, this program is really dedicated to empowering women with truthful information so they can make the most informed decisions possible. And by the way, as I always like to say, the information on this show is not just for women. Men also get tremendous amount of value since many of the issues directly impact them. And even if they are women's issues, for all the men out there who want to really support and understand their women, their wives, their mothers, their daughters, granddaughters, this is the place to be. I do have a few announcements. I will be lecturing in New York City coming up in a week's time. I'm actually a guest lecturer at the Natural Gourmet Institute. That's Saturday, November 20th from 2 to 5 p.m., It's a power-packed, information-filled day. And I might add, we have lots of practical solutions addressing most of, if not all, of the women's health issues that are really challenging women, and often women are really confused about what to do and the best way to get their health and hormones back on track. So please contact the Natural Gourmet Institute and come along. It's a wonderful afternoon, and I guarantee you will be absolutely enlightened on the subject. Okay, the other thing I want to say is we are on our way in a 9-week teleseminar series called Turn Back the Clock, How to Rejuvenate Your Hormones, Your Health, and Your Life Naturally. It's been a fantastic series so far. We have had three of our Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. presentations, and we have six more to go. You can sign up at this website, healthywomanseminar.com, and that's a great website to not only get the latest call, but actually once you sign up, you have access to all the other calls, and you don't have to be there in person. They are all recorded. They are sent to you. And every week we have special offers that each of the guest presenters is making available. So it's a educational opportunity to really teach you the keys to truly rejuvenating your body. Not just a concept, it is actually a reality. So come and learn what you need to know to get younger and healthier as you get older. And one last thing, if you have not yet visited my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, where if you opt in, you'll get my special reports, you'll have access to numerous articles that I have written. You'll also be able to get to the two radio shows, this one and the one every Sunday called The Women's Healing Circle on this network. They're all accessible through my homepage. So, you know, as you can tell, I am doing my best to get really truthful information out there to you, and I just invite you to take advantage of all these wonderful opportunities that are being availed to you. Okay, so one of the issues that I have been, you might say, really obsessed about, because it's such a critical issue affecting the health and well-being and rejuvenation of everybody, not just women. And it's related to the understanding of the role our adrenal glands play in our body. And having personally experienced adrenal exhaustion, and now after testing, you know, thousands of people with the most valid way to assess your hormones, particularly your adrenal status, is the saliva test, I have come to the conclusion that just about everybody in our society, doesn't matter what your age is dealing with some degree of adrenal dysfunction. And we're going to talk about what that is, why it's important to address this health challenge, and particularly today we're going to be focusing on the role of stress, your adrenals, and how it impacts your metabolism and compromises your ability to have a healthy metabolism, putting you at greater risk of metabolic syndrome and, of course, all the weight gain that follows. So that should just about get everyone's attention. And to help us explore this really important topic, but a topic that is rarely, if ever, addressed by your medical doctor, God bless them, they're doing the best they can. They just have a blind spot when it comes to this. Is my really very special guest today, Dr. James Wilson. And we've had Dr. Wilson on before, and it's time we brought him back because he's always such a wealth of information. A little bit about Dr. Wilson. He is one of the rare few who have earned 3 doctorates and 2 master's degrees, all from different colleges and in all different health-related disciplines. He received his Ph.D. in human tradition from the human nutrition from the University of Arizona, and he has a doctorate in chiropractic medicine and naturopathic medicine as well. And he is the author of a fantastic book called Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome. And he has also started a company that is dedicated to creating high-quality formulas to address these issues such as adrenal fatigue. And it's a pleasure to have Dr. Wilson with me again. So hello, Dr. Wilson.
Good morning, Dr. Selma. It's nice to be back.
Well, I always look forward to having you. You know, I just love our conversations, and they are just so enlightening, and you're just there at that leading edge. You know, I recently came across some information that stated that the American endocrinologists have officially declared adrenal fatigue to be non-existent as an issue. Have you come across that?
No, I haven't. That doesn't surprise me.
They totally deny its existence.
Well, you know, the ADA, the American Dental Association, has denied that mercury has anything to do with any kind of toxic problems in the body. And, you know, the list goes on about these kind of official aficionado type of organizations that they make their pontifications. But when you actually ask and provide facts, that's when it starts breaking down. You know, the latest thing that I've heard is adrenal fatigue is an internet disease. What's interesting about that is that the article started about this in 1895. And, I don't know, I'm not a historian, but I think 1895 is before the internet. And then there was lots written in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and up through the 70s and 80s. That was well before the internet, yet they're trying to call it an internet illness. It's just hysterical to me.
Well, that's why it's so important to have these discussions, because people really need to find sources that are going to guide them with truly accurate information. And as you know, I mean, you've dedicated so much of your time addressing the issue of adrenal fatigue. I mean, it really is one of your purposes and your great contributions, and I certainly have personally experienced it, see it with my patients, and I'm kind of drumming it into people's heads all the time. So we know it is a real problem. It is one of those underlying root cause issues compromising so many facets of a person's health, including their aging process.
Absolutely.
Can we do a brief overview, Dr. Wilson, about the adrenals, their role in our health, why we are both so passionate about getting this information out and supporting people. And then I know you've been evolving your research and have been talking about and will continue. It's kind of a new area that you're developing, the role of the adrenals with this problem of metabolic syndrome, which is driving this epidemic of obesity and all the chronic illnesses associated with it. So that's where I'd like us to go. But let's, is that okay? That's like a good plan.
Sure, you lead me. I'll follow.
Okay, so let's start with an overview of the role of the adrenals and their place not only in hormonal balance, but why they are critical to so many key functions of our body.
Okay, well, the adrenals were first shown to be necessary for life in about 1865. I'm sorry, 1856. That was right after a fellow named Dr. Thomas Addison gave a paper and produced a monograph showing what later became Addison's disease, or failure of the disease of the adrenal glands. But a famous doctor, famous in medicine, both because he was so colorful and because of his contributions, Dr. Charles Brown Secord, did some experiments with dogs and showed the adrenal glands were necessary for life when he ablated the adrenals from those dogs, and they lived about 24 hours and then expired. And so from that time on, then they knew the adrenals were really important. Was they hadn't been given that much importance beforehand. But then it took a lot more years before they discovered what they did. And so they found that the adrenal glands have hormones that go to almost every tissue and gland, and I say almost because I think I found everything, but there may be one I left out. But it goes everywhere, and it secretes up to 50 hormones if you count their metabolic intermediates. And some of these hormones may surprise you. For example, we've all heard of adrenaline and noradrenaline. It's the more modern word for that is epinephrine and norepinephrine. And that comes from the very middle of the adrenal gland. And that has to do with acute stress that we experience in the first few hours of a stressful situation. And it helps us respond to the stress. And we've heard about the mother who lifts up a car with one hand while she gets her baby out from underneath it, and the superhuman feats. And that can be temporary. And that actually has occasional occurrences like that. But then the chronic stress is mainly dealt with the outside of the gland, the outer part of the gland called the cortex. And that's the one that secretes most of the hormones. And those hormones aren't just for stress, but they're important to keep your blood sugar normal. They keep memory good. It is important in anti-aging. As a matter of fact, about 40% of normal estrogen or progesterone is produced by the adrenal gland in women, and most of it is produced by men. Most of the estrogen and progesterone is in the men's body is produced by the adrenal glands. Over half of the male hormones in females, over half of the androgens are secreted by the adrenal glands in the female. And, of course, about 40% of that is secreted by the adrenals in the men. So it has a tremendous effect on the body, especially as we start to age, because if we already have people that are stressing their adrenals to the maximum, going into perimenopause and menopause, we will increase that acceleration stage. Now, the adrenal glands were called the glands of stress by Dr. Hans Selye, who started doing research back in the 1930s or so. And he developed a protocol for, or a prototype of how this happens. And he noticed that when his animals were put under stressful situations, they aged more quickly. And as the adrenal glands broke down in their function, the animals age more quickly. And so we know the adrenal glands are related to aging, and the more stress the adrenal glands have to deal with, then all other things being equal, then that animal ages more quickly. And of course, humans are animals, and we have the same problems. And so even though it's difficult to make a one-to-one extrapolation, we know that the functions of the adrenal gland, if challenged too severely, can decrease in function, and it can lead to that one of those some of those problems we know as aging, and that would have to do with concentration and recall and memory and other things like that, as well as skin turgor and the amount of fat underneath the skin. So there's a number of different things that the adrenal glands do that directly or indirectly contribute to aging when they're not functioning the way that they should.
And you know, what are some of the symptoms when the adrenals start getting dysregulated? Because there are stages of what we call stages of adrenal dysfunction. Well, what are some of the symptoms that people have to give them a clue that they may be suffering from some stage of adrenal fatigue?
Usually some we have some sort of fatigue in the morning. In other words, they sleep, but they don't feel rested when they get up. They often migrate to more coffee and cola beverages because they feel like they have to push themselves through the day. They'll usually have an afternoon low in the middle of the afternoon. It could be between 2 and 4, or 3 and 5, sometimes in the afternoon. And it can be as minor as just, you know, feeling like they want to sit for a little bit, not do very much. And it can be as major as having to lay down during the afternoon because they just can't function very well. And that can last for as long as 10 or 15 minutes, or as short as 15 minutes to as long as an hour and a half in some of the more severe cases. They may have a second wind at night around 11 o'clock where they suddenly feel wide awake and they want to start working and doing projects or other things like that, and they feel tired. They don't feel tired until about 1:30 or 2. Then they go to bed, and they find if they sleep in, they sleep in until about 9 o'clock in the morning, they feel more rested than if they got up at 7 or so. So those are fairly classic signs, and then we'll find there are other things too, that loss of libido, that confusion, poor thinking, poor judgment, panicking during stressful situations, not being able to handle stressful situations like they used to, more arguments and intolerance with their spouse. A lot of this has to do with the blood sugar, that cortisol is necessary to keep the blood sugar normal. And as the cortisol tends to drop, then the ability of the adrenal decreases, then the blood sugar can't stay normal. And so during stress, which an argument would be, then the blood sugar normally would rise, insulin would rise, and the person would be able to handle this and then get over it and go on with their work. But with cortisol not being able to rise to the occasion, the blood sugar can't rise, and so that person then becomes hypoglycemic under stress, and so they may become more angry or irritable or confused, or attention span may not be as good. And we know that the cortisol is necessary to form an alpha wave, and so the concentration to do mathematics and deep concentration, even meditation and prayer can be interrupted because those require an alpha wave in the beginning. And so cortisol is necessary for that. Now, there's been a lot of talk about people gaining weight with low cortisol. That's typically not the case. But sometimes people can gain weight with low adrenal function because they tend to overeat because they have such low energy. They're trying to dry themselves with food. And the food they most often dry themselves with are the foods that are the high calorie, low nutrient, white flour, white sugar kind of things. And so with that overabundance, the food and worry are two of the things that help increase cortisol. And so with people stuffing themselves with food, and caffeine can do that too, and then having caffeinated beverages like cola beverages and Red Bull and Cokes and other things like that, then they can have a temporary increase in the cortisol for 45 minutes or so because they've both eaten, they've consumed caffeine, and they've also have stresses. So that can temporarily increase the cortisol. And so people can actually gain weight around the middle because there is a slight increase in cortisol during that time, and cortisol has a special affinity for the visceral fat. But because someone has low cortisol doesn't mean that they gain weight. So there's been a couple companies promoting how they can help you get over low cortisol and help you lose weight. That's not really the whole story. The whole story is if people don't overconsume calories during that time, they won't gain weight.
And we should say, you know, because when you look at the profile of cortisol, which is that long-term stress hormone that has such a major role to play in so many functions, when you look at the cortisol picture over a 24-hour period, if people have consistently low cortisol, they're in bad shape. I mean, that's a very, very serious depletion that is often very difficult to recover from. Isn't that when people really are diagnosed with things like chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, certainly chronic fatigue syndrome, and not everybody with chronic fatigue syndrome has low cortisol, but it's certainly so pervasive that there's been an Italian scientist has been trying for years to get it classified, chronic fatigue syndrome, to get it classify it as an adrenal syndrome, because as he said, of the 43 classic symptoms of Addison's disease, at least 39 of those have been reported with people with chronic fatigue syndrome. And so it certainly has a strong adrenal component to it. There may be other factors like an infective factor or something that may be involved with chronic fatigue syndrome. But for sure, the adrenal glands are a strong factor. And so it's my belief that we have to treat whatever the cause of the chronic fatigue and also the adrenals in order for someone to recover properly from chronic fatigue.
And it kind of takes us, you know, on to the next point, that when you have the exhausted adrenals, when your cortisol levels are either, you know, the body's trying to produce a lot and you have the ability, or when you get to the place when your body's just so exhausted and those little adrenals have been flogged to death, that the immune system gets compromised, which makes you more susceptible to infections.
It sure does. And as a matter of fact, every white blood cell on your body has cortisol receptors on it. So when the double whammy is, if someone gets into high cortisol, it can cause the immune system to go down. But if someone has low cortisol, then the white blood cells don't get stimulated to do all the things they do to protect your body from getting infected and getting sick. And so with low cortisol, you also get these recurring illnesses, especially respiratory illnesses. And so people just kind of go from one sickness to the next, and they'll say, I catch everything going around, or they'll, you know, find that they'll have bronchitis and pneumonia a couple times during the year. They catch a lot of colds during the year because the immune system just can't quite keep up with the demands placed on it, the same as the adrenals can, because cortisol is not there to stimulate the immune system to protect the body.
So you get into this vicious cycle, you know, and more things are causing the body to become stressed, which, mm-hmm. as a result, exhausts the adrenal glands even more.
That's right. We're dealing with, I call it the ultimate experiment. Nature has never experienced anything like this with the human organism, at a time when we have so many pollutants in the air, such poor food quality, such high stresses, such lack of relaxation. We've never had a time in our history like this. And so we don't really know the outcome, but it doesn't look like it's going to be very good.
And we should say that, I mean, children and teenagers are being diagnosed with some stage of adrenal exhaustion too, aren't they?
I've seen them, my earliest is 4 months, 4 months of age, and my oldest is 92. So I've seen people with adrenal fatigue, low adrenal function, for all the way from 4 months to 4 months of age to 92 years old. And sometimes they seem like they're born with it. Dr. John Tintira wrote in 1974 that, he actually wrote it in 1969, it came out in 1974, he saw a lot of congenital, in other words, children born with weak adrenal glands. And then we also have the familial part, that if mothers have done drugs or other things, alcohol, then they may have weaker adrenal glands in their children. And so the child may not have as strong an adrenals as they need to. So that's a lifelong problem. We sometimes, if we can get the child young enough, then a lot of times we can help those adrenals become much, much, much stronger. And so they can live a pretty normal life. If we don't, then they suffer from having low adrenal function during their whole life.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that in my lifetime, dealing with bouts of, you know, depression and fatigue and anxiousness, all related to, you know, just early childhood and probably birth, because I had a really long, stressful birth, and I'm sure that things got set up very early in my life to have more compromised adrenal function, which just, you know, life took its toll until I got the light bulb turned on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and if we know that a child has that problem very early, then we can start treating their adrenals fairly early. And it really takes the adrenals, the first 2 years, the adrenals are still reforming in the body after the child is born. So the adrenals aren't fully in their organized state until the child is about 2 years old. So it gives us time to go in and use the right nutrients and the right things to have the child take to help those adrenals get stronger earlier in life, too.
So one other thing I want us to address, and we can kind of take it, move on from there with the metabolic syndrome connection. But see, the thing I'm trying to assist women in understanding is that when we talk about hormonal issues and women, you know, menopause and perimenopausal issues come up, women automatically think bioidentical hormones. I automatically think adrenal exhaustion as a root cause driving these things, which is not readily understood or not a lot of education. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, Cheryl, when you're thinking about hormone replacement, it's not wrong thinking. It's more the tail wagging instead of the dog. So as we talked about before, the adrenals produce so much of the female and male hormones in women, and as women get older, the adrenals have to have an even more important role. As the adrenals stay fairly strong later life and the ovaries start to shut down, the adrenals have to take up that slack of producing the estrogen, progesterone, and the testosterone that are so necessary for women to feel normal and to look good. And so if we can run around trying to treat this hormone and that hormone, and that makes sense on one level, but to treat it on a deeper level, if you go to the root cause and you treat the adrenal gland, then it's my clinical experience and the research bears this out, that when you treat the adrenals, then the women have far fewer problems and the hormones are much easier to treat. So in other words, in some women, if you treat the adrenals, they won't need any hormone replacement at all because the adrenals will kick up to the point to where they have enough female and male hormones. In others, you may need to balance a little bit here and there. And, of course, along with the low adrenal function, after the adrenals get so low, then the thyroid starts coming down because you need cortisol as the major converter of T4, the inactive thyroid hormone, to T3, the active thyroid hormone. You need cortisol in the thyroid receptor on each cell to help activate it. So as someone gets into weaker and weaker adrenal function with lower cortisol, then the thyroid hormone starts coming down. Well, then that causes a problem with the estrogen-thyroid relation, which is strong, and then also the lack of progesterone makes a tremendous effect on the balancing act of this. So if they go to treat the adrenals first and strengthen the adrenals, then the thyroid will often come up, the estrogen and progesterone will often balance, testosterone rises, DHEA gets back into normal or for age-related, and we see that it's much easier then to balance the woman and the man, for that matter, but it's much easier to balance them if the adrenals are strong. We need to just kind of touch here and touch there rather than try to use superheroic hormones out at the end of the tail of the dog to balance them. So it's not that either one is wrong. It's just that when you treat the adrenals, you treat in a deeper level, and it makes clinical treatment of these patients much, much easier once you treat the root cause, which is the weak adrenal.
And the critical point about that is if you start with some form of hormone replacement therapy, you're never really taking care of the need of those tired adrenal glands, so they are overlooked.
Yeah, that's right. And so a lot of the subtleties that women find difficult to express when they go to a doctor about the aspects of aging are taken care of when they start treating the adrenal glands. So the doctor says, oh, it sounds like you're low estrogen, so he gives them low estrogen. Well, that helped part of it. Oh, it sounds like low progesterone. Well, here's some progesterone. Yeah, that helped a little bit. Oh, you still have some low testosterone. Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that helps some. I still just don't quite feel right. If you'd step back and say, you know what, we're going to treat your adrenals, and then we're going to see what we can do to help the other hormones. Then there's all these other hormones the adrenals are secreting that we don't have pharmaceuticals for, that we don't have replacements for. And those start going up. And then if he happens to touch on, need a little bit of progesterone here, or DHEA there, or testosterone here, then all of a sudden he's got a much more balanced, much better feeling woman whose overall health picture ends up being a lot more favorable for her. She feels better. She acts better. She doesn't age as fast. She has just an overall better sense of self when the adrenals are functioning. I used to say, show me a happy person, and I'll show you a strong adrenal glands. If you have a happy, relaxed, enjoyable person who handles stress well, that person usually with strong adrenal glands. But that only describes one in 500 people in our society now.
One in 500, really?
Who knows? I mean, I've never done the numbers, but it's
right.
Not often.
But I mean, the point is made. It's like there's so few people. Like I said, every single saliva test I've ever done on any woman has shown adrenal dysregulation. I have not found one person who's had healthy adrenals. I've talked to other practitioners who've done thousands and thousands and thousands, and no one is finding patients that have healthy adrenals that are found in normal range, at least not before they are working with the proper supplementation, because that's the whole point,
that's right,
is to bring it back into normal range. But it's just such a big issue that, I know you are playing a major role in enlightening practitioners as well as, the lay audience about how serious a problem and how pervasive it is to so many of our health challenges. I certainly discovered one of the things that brought my attention to the adrenal issue was the insomnia thing. The fact that I was waking up every night around 3 or 4 a.m. with palpitations and anxiety attacks.
Right.
And that's a bit going on out there as well these days.
Oh, absolutely. And then we can relate that. There's a couple ways we can look at that. And by the way, it's become now such an issue that instead of giving a 2-hour, 3-hour lecture on it, I'm now giving 6-hour lectures on it on separate seminars. I gave one in Australia in 6 hours. I gave one in the Royal Society of Medicine, a 6-hour presentation in London, England in October, and I'll be giving one in December in Las Vegas at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine for physicians and healthcare practitioners. And the crowds are growing quite a lot. And part of that is because they see that we have to take time and learn and really understand about how to treat these different areas in here. But more comprehensive, the better comprehensive treatment you have of the adrenal gland, the fewer problems you have. You're right, absolutely. If we go into sleep, then we find that cortisol is sometimes high during the night and sometimes low during the night, and it's independent of whether they're low or high during the daytime. So the best thing to do then is, for example, when you were waking up with those nightmares and with the other problems, wake up and anxiety, take a saliva hormone test and just cortisol, send it to a lab, and for $35 you'll find out if you're high or low. Now, we use the 11 o'clock p.m. reading because cortisol doesn't change that much during the night. And the labs, there's about a dozen labs that do cortisol testing. You don't need a prescription for it. You can just write out. You can find them on the Internet, and you can send in for their kits. They'll send it to you, and you can send it in. And if and by the way, if you think that cortisol testing from the saliva is inaccurate, it's covered by Plan B Medicare. And I want people to know that, because we're not talking about some sort of outlandish test that's a woo-woo land or something like this. It's a very well-established, accurate, scientific, valid, and reliable test that we can use to determine the adrenal gland function by testing the cortisol. So you're not talking about some sort of wild test. You're talking about something that's accepted by medicine, that's covered by Plan B Medicare, that you can test for yourself, and you can find out if you're high or low during the night. And so if the cortisol drops in the night, then blood sugar can drop during the night, and that can produce all kinds of symptoms and anxiety and restlessness and nightmares and bad dreams are just part of that. And the high cortisol can suppress melatonin, and so that makes it difficult to sleep, and so sleep can be interrupted by either mildly high or mildly low cortisol.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm sure everyone listening is like checking all these things off, because this is our 21st century, pervasive challenge right now. Dr. Wilson, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the role, the relationship between these little tired adrenals and metabolic syndrome, and then we'll talk about some of the solutions as well.
Oh, that'll be fun. Okay.
Okay, so hang in there, everyone. You're listening to Dr. James Wilson, who is the author of Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman on What Women Must Know. We will be right back.
To PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Freedom News Hour will bring you up to date on the latest news on the financial meltdown.
Begin restoring local communities. It can happen.
We'll be exploring the issues from a freedom-oriented, small government perspective.
I'm Walt Thiessen.
I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
I am Jake Towne.
Join us live Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Tune in to Citi's Grace Notes, where we'll be bringing you inspired voices from around the world. Creative voices from various fields and backgrounds. New sounds, new music, and new ideas with your host, Citi. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day. And I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one forum that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
Listen to Of Consuming Interest every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Jim Turner, attorney in Washington, D.C., chairman of the board of Citizens for Health. Every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, we discuss a topic of consuming interest, often about health, but also about politics, commerce, and whatever the current topic of the day might be. Of Consuming Interest, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Progressive Radio Network.
You're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
We are back. This is What Women Must Know with Dr. Cheryl Selman, and my special guest today is Dr. James Wilson, who is a chiropractor, naturopath, a PhD in nutrition, and the author of Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome. And we are talking about a topic that is absolutely critical for everyone's health and rejuvenation. So, as we continue this conversation, Dr. Wilson, I think, is there anything else you want to add before we move into this whole area that connects adrenal exhaustion to our metabolic syndrome epidemic happening?
Well, there's several things, just briefly. One is, if they want more information on adrenal fatigue, they can go to the Adrenal Fatigue website called adrenalfatigue.org, A-D-R-E-N-A-L. FATIGUE.org, and they'll find more information about that, and we'll be redoing that website soon, so that they can have even more information, and it's easier to use. In February, the new one will come out, and then also, if they want, the book I wrote was called Adrenal Fatigue: The 21st Century Stress Syndrome, and that's designed to be a self-help book for people to find out, first of all, if they have adrenal fatigue. There's a questionnaire I used in my practice for 26 years that they could put, they can take themselves because it's self-grading, and then they can find out what to do about them to help themselves. So the combination of the website and the book gives them a lot of help. And then on the website, we have some doctors, not nearly all, but some doctors that help people with adrenal fatigue. So that's some of the things they can do to help, but understanding it and finding out more about it is really important. We have Facebook and blogs so that they can be involved with adrenal fatigue. There's lots of other bloggers out there. As a matter of fact, when we first put up adrenal fatigue in 1998, there were four websites, and the other that listed it, and the other three belonged to the publisher that was going to put out the book that came out in 2001. And now, I don't know, let me just look up what we're talking here. We'll just look up adrenal fatigue and see what up. But it's in the several hundred thousand now. Google, it's over 2 million.
Well, yes. Yes. You know, it's obviously first and foremost in our awareness, and I was just saying earlier in our conversation how medical doctors are still yet to understand. It's, I call it a blinding flash of the obvious. When you really understand the symptoms, you know, take a history, it's pretty evident. Then you take a saliva test, and it just backs up what you see, you know, what is a most obvious diagnosis of the issue,
yeah,
or at least the underlying root cause dynamic.
Yeah, so this entity that doesn't exist on the except on the internet has 2,560,000 references,
yeah,
pages devoted to adrenal fatigue.
Yeah,
kind of preposterous.
I just want to say that when I became aware of this issue and in search for my own solutions, and then when I made all the necessary changes and support, nutritional and supplemental support, you know, just all the numerous things that we will talk about in a little bit. It's changed my life. You know, I have energy, vitality, I'm happy, I'm sleeping deeply and rested, and it's just really the ultimate way to rejuvenate oneself long term.
Boy, I'm so happy to hear that, and I know you struggle with it, so I'm really happy to hear that you're doing well.
Yeah, you know how the wounded healer syndrome, it's like, okay, I really was suffering, and then I was determined to figure it all out, and you know, I didn't have people like you back then laying it all out in a very clear, easy, step-by-step manner. I had to find the pieces myself, and it, you know, it made such a huge difference, and I'm really grateful for that experience because it really helps me deal with every single patient that I see now, because it's, you know, having primarily women in my practice and primarily perimenopausal or menopausal or postmenopausal women, it's a chronic issue that everyone is needing to address. And the good news is that you can recover those adrenals.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was speaking at
Las Vegas. I forgot it because I spoke in Las Vegas on Friday and Florida on Sunday. Florida, I think. I was speaking in Palm Beach, Florida at a functional medicine, and a man came up before I started, and he goes, older man, I'd say 65 or so, and he said, I'm an internal medicine specialist, and I'd heard about adrenal fatigue, but I didn't really think about it very much or give it much credibility. And then about 6 months ago, I got it. And I've never experienced fatigue like that in my life. I couldn't believe I could be so tired. And so I read your book, and I did what it says, and I got over it. But he says, had I not experienced it, I wouldn't have known how tired you could actually be with adrenal fatigue. He says, I'm a believer. I really see it, but I understand how there's no way until you experience yourself how words just do not describe that deep fatigue, that pervasive in my life that I just couldn't get over until I started doing what you told me to do to get better.
Yeah,
that was so nice. It was so,
yeah,
just so from the heart.
Exactly. And, you know, it drives so many of these other health conditions. It's driving, as we talked about, hormonal imbalance. It can drive thyroid issues. It can drive inflammatory conditions in the body. It just, you know, it's driving the major, you know, dynamics that lead to more chronic illness and dysfunction,
yeah,
and depression and anxiety and whole slew of things. Let's talk about the relationship of adrenals to metabolic syndrome and what we need to know in that regard.
Well, I have a lecture I call the Adrenal Fatigue Metabolic Syndrome Cortisol Tightrope Walk. And what it basically means is that we have stress, and stress, we'll say the stress continues, and let's just say the stress is severe enough to where the body's having some difficulty with it, and if the body's able to, the adrenal specifically, able to keep up with that, then it causes an over-secretion of adrenaline, typically hunger. With a high cortisol, you get hunger, and then eventually hyperglycemia, and so then we develop metabolic syndrome. If it's low, then you go to adrenal fatigue. So stress, if it continues, doesn't seem to have a very good outcome all the time, unless someone has exceptionally strong adrenal glands. And if they do have strong enough adrenal gland, they respond with a high cortisol, and that produces problems. If they get low cortisol, then of course they have adrenal fatigue. Now, you could say, well, yeah, but metabolic syndrome has had so many other causes. They say it's genetic, and they say, well, yeah, it is a number of things. But if we give normally an obese mouse or rat a knockout gene that knocks out the conversion of cortisone to cortisol. It's where the rat has normal levels of cortisol instead of having high levels of cortisol. And what do we see? We see their obesity disappear. We see their triglyceride disappear. We see the high cholesterol disappear. We see their hypertension disappear. And what are we talking about? We're talking about all the symptoms we see of metabolic syndrome, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So just doing that one thing, blocking the cortisol so it's only normal, makes that rat into a normal rat instead of the rat that would develop metabolic syndrome. So we know how powerful. As a matter of fact, I'm in my office, and I'm looking at probably 150 studies here that are all labeled metabolic syndrome and cortisol. And they talk about how high cortisol plays such a definitive role in metabolic syndrome. It's certainly not the only thing. There's certainly eating patterns and worry patterns and lifestyle patterns, but that high cortisol plays so far, medicine hasn't brought out that role. And I don't know why, because there are lots of studies showing that metabolic syndrome has high cortisol to it. But we know from the research, the scientific research is right there to support that high cortisol.
Right. Right. You know, I personally experienced that. You know, when I was going through a really high, stressful period, so obviously making lots of cortisol, that's when I started putting all the weight on around the middle.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Belly, you know, what we call the belly fat, right? And,
yeah,
and
uh-huh.
I have to say it was really hard to get it off, even though the stress had ended, that period of stress, and I was going back to kind of a happy life and eating well and sleeping well, but that was such difficult fat to mobilize.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it is, and I found people have to exercise differently when they want to get that exercise, that fat off, that little bit of fat, because they typically, people with high cortisol have the energy to exercise, where it's difficult with the people with low adrenal function, and so they exercise, but then they don't take a long time to warm down, and exercise elevates cortisol, and so if they don't take a long time to warm down after they exercise, they don't burn off that cortisol, so they end up with excess cortisol, and so then they'll develop belly fat, even though they're exercising.
Wow, so you need a long cool down period, is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, that long cool down period is
like
really essential.
Slowly or just stretching,
yeah,
or
in order to burn off that extra cortisol that's developed during the intense exercising.
And while we're on that subject, people have to be also aware that if they have low cortisol levels and they push themselves by doing too intense a workout, that is going to further deplete their already depleted cortisol levels.
Yeah, they can get to a point that temporarily pushes that into high cortisol, and then they pay for it by the adrenals going into recovery mode. And so then they'll be even lower than the next day. So we don't want to push. And so the criteria for low adrenal is if you're more tired after you've exercised within 90 minutes, or you're more tired within that next morning after you've exercised, then you've probably done too much of whatever you've done before. So you just cut it back. We do want you to exercise because it's important, but we do whatever is within your limits. And you, unfortunately, the only way I know to do it is by hindsight. Whereas with the cortisol that's being high, we know that you can exercise usually more fully, but then when you quit exercise, as you go through the cool-off period, you have to continually exercise a little bit slower, lower, 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 until you finally burn off that excess cortisol. So different exercise patterns for high or low cortisol.
And that's just a critical piece of information right there for people, because if you don't adjust your exercise to what's going on in your body, you're going to further be compromising those adrenals and your health.
So no matter how we slice it, the adrenals end up being important for health. If they're functioning, over-functioning, we pay for it. If they're under-functioning, we pay for it. That's why they're so important.
That's right. Why don't we talk about, this is a good place to segue into some of the strategies that people need to put into place to help their adrenals to recover and to maintain long-term healthy adrenal function.
Okay. Well, one of the things they do, what we want them to do, whether they have high or low cortisol, is to sleep. Because sleep is really restorative. It's very important. Almost any health condition recovers better if you have adequate sleep, and the adrenals are certainly no exception on that. As a matter of fact, sleep is one of the most important things that we need in therapy. So I say sleep any way that you can. Now, a lot of times we can simply get to sleep by taking 400 milligrams magnesium citrate. And little tips, there's a product on the Adrenal Fatigue website called Herbal Adrenal Support Formula. Has four different adaptogenic herbs that help people's women sleep. Not just designed for helping sleep, but it certainly helps them sleep better. And then sometimes taking a little progesterone and rubbing it on their wrist will help people sleep better. A couple milligrams or 3 milligrams of melatonin will help people sleep. And there's many relaxing teas. There's sometimes breathing will help them, deep breathing. And there's some suggestions in the book about deep breathing and how to help relax. So there's several different ways that people can relax to help get to sleep. One thing we don't want you to do, don't look at the computer very close or the TV very close after 8 o'clock at night, because that stimulates the pineal gland to suppress melatonin production. And melatonin helps you stay relaxed and get to sleep. And so we don't want that.
And also, can we talk about the role of vitamin C, since that's such a key nutrient for the adrenals?
Yeah. The adrenals use more vitamin C than any other nutrient. And so what we want is to get a lot of vitamin C. If we look at animals in nature and we do the comparison of their body weights, we find that most animals make their own vitamin C. Humans and guinea pigs are the two exceptions that don't make their own vitamin C. And the animals that make their vitamin C make the equivalent of 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day. And so the RDAs of 125 milligrams don't even come close to handling all the things. They keep you from getting scurvy, but they don't have that wonderful antioxidant property that vitamin C has, and it helps. It's involved in the adrenal cascade, in repairing tissue, in making sure the arteries stay nice and healthy. It just has so many aspects to it. And as a matter of fact, vitamin C in skin is one of the major anti-aging aspects of skin, too, because of its pro-oxidation of the water-soluble toxins that get into it. In the brain, the same thing. And it regenerates vitamin E. And coenzyme Q10. So vitamin C has a tremendously important role in the adrenal function, as well as all through the body in stress. And it's also, if you could probably look at stress vitamins, vitamin C and the B complex, especially niacin and B6 and pantothenic acid, are probably the three, four most important nutrients as far as the vitamins go. And then the minerals, magnesium is really important for people to sleep well, for tissue repair, for ATP production, for all kinds of other things. Manganese for the blood sugar regulation, copper for a proper sympathetic response. There's just all kinds of things. And vitamin C, unfortunately, vitamin C is interrelated with these minerals, too.
You know, what would be your recommendation, talking about vitamin C, how much do people need if they're wanting to rebuild their adrenals? Or they're going through a stressful time and need
What I found is the equivalent of about 3,000 milligrams is used for the average person. And I like for those to be combined with a 2-to-1 bioflavonoid. So you take about half as much bioflavonoid as you do ascorbate, and luckily there's some commercial products that have this. And the most important thing then is we want a pH balance in that that vitamin C, because people tend to be acidic when they're under stress, and they become more acidic with adrenal fatigue. So vitamin C is typically acidic, but the body needs a lot of it. And if we don't take the amount of a pH balance C, then it'll pull out the badly needed magnesium and calcium out of the system in order to neutralize itself. So we take a pH balance vitamin C, and one that's slowly released into the system, so the person gets the absolute most benefit out of it. And then one with a 2-to-1 bioflavonoid to ascorbate ratio, because that helps the body deal with this a lot better with a more complete use of the ascorbic acid, the vitamin C portion.
Do you think it's useful for people to get one, you know, to test their pH, their morning pH, with those pH papers, to see if they have ideal pH?
I think it's helpful, but I don't think most people do it correctly. And so what I would suggest to people is that they, first of all, get distilled water, and your pH test the distilled water. And if you first of all, it's difficult to get pH of 7 on distilled water, because most of them come in plastic jugs, and the pH will be a 5.5 or 6 by the time they even test it. But if you can get a 7 pH water, distilled water, and you rinse out your mouth, and that takes out the debris from the night before, then take your pH, you'll get a more accurate idea about what your current body pH is. And it should be somewhere around 7.3, 7.4.
What about urine, doing your first morning urine?
Urine will tend to be more acidic, so a morning urine tends to be about 6.
Right.
And so somewhere around 6 is pretty good for urine.
Okay, so that's a good way to, you can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, anything else we didn't mention about how, you know, the care and tending of our adrenals?
Yeah, you need a fair bit of B vitamins, but they need to be in balance. And we more niacin, and then the trace minerals are important to help stay nice and calm and relax. The adaptogenic herbs, ashwagandha, Siberian ginseng, maca, and licorice are important on the HPA axis and to help people adjust to the wake-sleep cycle better and to adjust to light and handle stress better. It's great in menopause and menopausal, perimenopausal problems. Right foods. We want to make sure there's 5 to 6 servings of vegetables a day. And we want the highly colored vegetables, because they have all those flavins and bioflavonoids and anthocyanidins and other kind of fancy names that are just healing in vegetables and some fruits. Fruits aren't so important as vegetables, but we definitely want some fruits in there too. If we're going to have grains, we want whole grains, because the minerals in the grains are very important. And we want to avoid, above all, we want to avoid white sugar and white flour products, because they simply tear down the body and they take up nutrients we're trying to get into the system. Now, in addition to that, if we're talking about metabolic syndrome, red meat seem to overdrive the system, and we don't want that in metabolic syndrome, so we want the white meat, so more chicken and fish in that area, and only lighter amounts of it. You don't need a lot of protein with metabolic syndrome. But adrenal fatigue, we need more of the red animal meats and larger amounts of oils and fats in order to help reconstitute that. the people with adrenal fatigue. So with people with metabolic syndrome, they could be on a more of a Mediterranean diet. The people on with adrenal fatigue, we do want a lot of vegetables, but we also want more red meat and more fats in their diet because it helps make cholesterol. And we want good cholesterol because all the steroid hormones are made out of LDL cholesterol, you know, that thing that people have been trying to get down to zero.
Right.
That we want, we have to have enough LDL cholesterol to make steroid hormones in order for them to recover properly. So there's lots of nice things that they can do on their own. The book tells a lot about them. The Adrenal Fatigue website tells a lot about them, and I'm certain that you have a lot that you have to say about how to help people get well with adrenal fatigue. But the most important thing, I'd say, Dr. Selman, is that your listeners should know people can get over adrenal fatigue. They can get their life back again. They can feel wonderful again. That's the most important thing I'd like to say to them. Just whatever method you use to get yourself well. I've given you some ideas. There's many out there. And the book gives you some other more precise ideas. But people can get well if you use the right products, if you have the right lifestyle.
Well,
and the same with metabolic syndrome.
And I just want to thank you for your commitment to getting this information out there. I think everyone should read Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome by Dr. Wilson. It's the simplest but yet most comprehensive book, so I congratulate you on that book. And also adrenalfatigue.org has great information. And I want to let everyone know that Dr. Wilson is the guest speaker next week at our Turn Back the Clock seminar, so you'll get a chance to listen to more of his wisdom. And Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. It's really appreciated.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dr. Selman. It's a pleasure to be talking with you again and to talk with your guest.
And I'll see you at the Anti-Aging Conference.
Oh, you're going to be there. Great.
I will. And to all my listeners, thank you for joining me for another enlightening conversation. This is What Women Must Know, and remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.